welcome to episode 5 of Dairy Foods Let's Talk Dairy podcast. I'm Kathy Canning, Editor-in-Chief of Dairy Foods. Ransomware attacks have recently impacted some large companies, including Colonial Pipeline and JBS. That reality has put many North American companies, including dairy processors, on edge. With us today to discuss ransomware threats and other cybersecurity threats is Aldo, or Al, Leyva, an attorney with the law firm Baker Donaldson. Al is an expert within Baker Donaldson's data protection, privacy, and cybersecurity practice, advising clients on compliance, transactions, and litigation involving rapidly evolving federal, state, and international cybersecurity and data privacy laws. He has served as Privacy Compliance Counsel, Cybersecurity Risk Mitigation Counsel, and General Counsel for numerous food and agricultural companies. Al also serves on the board of the South Florida chapter of InfraGuard, a partnership between the FBI and members of the private sector for the protection of U.S. critical infrastructure. Thank you so much for joining us today, Al. I'm going to kick things off with my first question. What steps could dairy processing companies take to reduce their risk for a ransomware attack?
So it's really a three-step process, right? It's one is to prepare for what to do if one of these incidents occurs, to plan ahead, just like any kind of catastrophic risk, any kind of storm or event, you want to have a plan for it ahead of time. Two, how to mitigate it, right? Assess what your weaknesses are, see how resilient your organization is to this type of attack, and basically implement measures now to avoid any kind of adverse effect on operations. And three, respond, right? How to have a response system already in place. So administrative safeguards are the first step, right? It's a leadership question. This used to be an IT problem. It's no longer a problem just for your IT team. It's a problem for the entire company because it can shut down the entire company. So it's a leadership issue. So you need to make sure that you do an assessment, your leadership does an assessment of who your team is, whether it's folks who are working in-house that are part of your team, make sure that they are adequately trained, more importantly, that they have the proper expertise and certifications, and also the type of resources that they need to carry out their job. But that's something that I hear a lot from information security professionals. I keep talking about these things, but management isn't listening to me. So it's one of those things. You need to make sure you have the proper resources implemented to make sure your organization is properly protected. It's mission critical going forward. Policies and procedures. Make sure that your policies and procedures are up to date. Not only that, not that they're clear and well-written and robust, but that they've been tested. You don't want to crack open the handbook on the day that the system goes dark. You want to be very familiar with this process and have actually gone through exercises where you test it, right? And those are tabletop exercises where basically you do a whole drill, like a fire drill, and you have the entire team get together. And you do an assessment with everyone who is involved, and you come up with a different scenarios. I can't tell you how many times you encounter a situation where during a real event, someone is on vacation and they're overseas and their cell phone's not working, right? So you need to anticipate those kinds of things. Who's the back person if that happens, if you can't reach a critical person during that decision-making process? So you need to plan and test your incident response process. You also need to have training. Make sure that your staff is adequately trained as these potential types of risks. For example, many times these ransomware software attacks occur with an email that's sent to a staff member. And someone clicks on an attachment or clicks on a link or downloads an attachment thinking, and then, oh my gosh, it's actually malware. The system just went dark. So they need to be educated as to how to identify those and not click on them, right? And how to assess what a legitimate email looks like or what a suspicious email looks like.
Down to the lowest level at the company, would you say?
Exactly. I mean, everyone, not just the C-suite executive, but everyone, even the temp who's manning the desk, that person needs into the system. So that's why every person who's got a user account in the organization needs to have adequate training as to how to identify these types of things. The other thing is technical safeguards that can be implemented. So this ransomware works where basically they have leverage over the organization because the hackers say, well, guess what? I've locked your system. You don't have your data anymore. Well, if you do frequent backups, perhaps every day, you may have only lost a couple of hours of data, and therefore you actually have your system properly backed up. Because here's something else. There's a lot of talk about ransomware making these payments, but there's no guarantee that making a payment will get you the decryption keys. In other words, these hackers may just run with the money and just leave you with your problem, and basically you paid for nothing. So one way to avoid that issue is to make sure you have frequent backups. Two, make sure that your backups are stored separately, because a common problem that occurs, unfortunately, is that backups are networked in with the primary network. So what happens? Those backups get locked down too. So now you've lost everything, including your backups. So again, that needs to be analyzed and prepared for and anticipated well in advance of any type of attack. Update and patch your applications, right? Many times software vulnerabilities that occur out there because just companies are running outdated versions of software. So again, just critical to make sure that everything's updated and every security update is implemented as well. And also just the standards, right? Make sure you've got antivirus software installed on your system. Make sure you've got the firewalls and the email filters, all these kinds of preventative technical safeguards that can prevent against this, because that's really the best thing you can do. You don't want to be on that day when you're confronting this. You want to take and invest heavily in every measure you can take to avoid this from occurring, because you don't want to be facing that.
Great, certainly makes a lot of sense. However, if a dairy processor is targeted, how could it recover as quickly as possible?
So number one, again, this is where planning makes it a lot easier. If things still occur, and like I said, even in the face of the best training and the best policies and procedures and having the best team on board, companies still fall prey to ransomware because it's, again, it's insidious. Someone can just click on the wrong email and there you are. So you need to be prepared for that. So again, I guess the first step is make sure you've planned for this day so that you've rehearsed it enough times so you know what you're doing. Two, make sure that any type of incidents, even if they're suspicious, maybe the employee's not sure if this was a suspicious email, encourage them to report it immediately to your IT team. That way you can start acting on it and start assessing whether or not this is a problem. Let's say worst case scenario, it is a problem. Let's say that all of a sudden screens all over are going dark and this ominous payment demand comes on the screen, right? I mean, that's a nightmare for anybody. You want to basically get your team together, your incident response team, to, again, carry out your incident response. Because again, you should have foreseen this. Now what do? Just carry out the plan. That will involve putting together your team. It's usually a combination of your leadership, your technical team, any outside vendors that you're going to use, and your legal team, of course, as far as basically having a multidisciplinary team, because it's a complex issue. Many states and there's also some laws out there, federal laws, that require timely reporting of any type of incident like this. So the first thing is you have to assess it. Lock it down and see what's happening out there. So again, you just need to have that. Two, also law enforcement. Don't forget that there's federal professionals, Secret Service, FBI, that deal with these types of incidents every day. And they have technical teams that are a resource and that can help in these circumstances. A scenario that has come up before is where, let's say, a company gets hit with ransomware. If it's an older type of ransomware, it's possible that the FBI may have a decryption key for it. In other words, they can unlock your system for you. So again, many times there's a lot of some reluctance to reaching out to law enforcement. Law enforcement's approach on these issues is not that you did something wrong because you were, you know, you were attacked. They're there to help. Their job is to try to find the bad guys who are doing these things. And so basically, the idea is the FBI in particular has a lot of resources out there, and they actually regularly go out to the community and they actually talk to businesses, and get ready for that. So part of the preparation is also making sure you have an FBI liaison, right? You don't want to be calling this 800 number on the day of the incident. You want to know, okay, look, here's my local field agent. I know who this person is. They know who my team is, and they're there for me. And then it kind of plugs in and you're able to act quickly. Because again, the quicker you act and the more practiced and rehearsed you are in this, the more likely that you'll have a good outcome here. You'll minimize the impact that's going to occur on. You know, the other question about payment of ransom, you know, you see in the media that many companies do pay it. The Colonial Pipeline was an example of it was paid off, although fortunately, for the first time, they were able to claw back a big part of the ransom was clawed back by the federal authorities. But again, payment of ransom is not the best plan, because again, it's no guarantee that they're going to do that. So you need to be ready and you need to minimize the kind of impact that such an attack could have on your system. So it really just speaks to the need to, with time, educate yourself on the risk, find out what's happening out there. More importantly, understand the contours of your system, right? Your computer system. What is it about your unique setup that makes it vulnerable, right? Those kinds of assessments, kind of like checking a house for leaks or termites or anything like that, right? You just got to make sure that the proper assessments have been done and any kind of vulnerabilities have been identified ahead of time and you've taken measures to try to minimize any kind of adverse effects.
Great. Well, we talked about ransomware, but of course there's other types of potential cybersecurity threats. Which one should dairy processors be aware of and what steps should they be taking to prevent them?
Sure. So there's a lot of different risks out there. Imagine that every device you have out there is a potential vector, right? Now, who's the user of that device? So you may have insider threat. Companies often have maybe an employee who's not happy or is disgruntled, et cetera, may cause sabotage, right? They may actually misuse their credentials and delete data or download data. So again, you've got to make sure you've got controls in place to protect against insider threat. In addition to ransomware, there's other types of risk. For example, you have phishing, email phishing compromise, right? Where basically some kind of financial fraudster will send an email to a payment clerk at the company. It'll be from a vendor or a customer and basically says, hey, I know it's Friday, 5 o'clock. We just changed banks. Can you please send the next payment to this bank account? And, you know, and they time it perfectly because odds are that person's either perhaps reading the email on their iPhone and they can't see the full address. And they see that it's actually a fraudulent email from the sender. Right. And then that person says, oh, no worries, we'll do it. And then they find out on Monday they actually wired money to a fraudulent account and they lost the money. So those kinds of phishing scams are out there still. So that's another potential risk. So again, it comes to training and awareness, and especially for financial types of transactions, pick up the phone. If it seems strange, if it seems unusual, why is this vendor never sends me an email, right? This is auto pay. Why am I getting this special email from their CFO about this? Pick up the phone and talk to them and find out, because that's the best way to control it and assess that. The other thing is also implement multi-factor authentication to your system, right? And what that means is that not just a single password, right? If it's a critical access that you're trying to minimize access to, you have multi-factor authentication. So, for example, sometimes when you're banking, for example, it'll text a code by text message to your phone, right? That's an example of multi-factor authentication. In other words, it takes several steps for you to be able to access the system, right? So assess whether or not, or what are those critical access points for your organization that would benefit from having that heightened level of access, right? That's where prevention is the best medicine. Other potential risks are again, just operational technology or IoT. So Internet of Things, IoT, is something that's been talked about. So basically, that's where essentially anything that's out there can have a sensor placed on it, and therefore it's connected to the internet. So now it's no longer just your laptops and your cell phones that are connected. You may actually have a device out there in some remote field that's connected to the internet now. Make sure that the software that operates that sensor is also updated. Make sure that there's no risk there, because again, a hacker could try to get in through that entry point as well. So it's knowing your system well. It's basically coming in there and making sure that you've adequately assessed it. Also, information sharing. There's a lot of information. I know I've covered a lot during the podcast, but with time, you can actually take a look at a lot of publicly available resources on how to minimize your risk. One excellent resource is through the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, called CISA, C-I-S-A. It's a government agency, and basically it is intended to protect the critical infrastructure sectors of the United States economy. That includes, of course, food and agriculture and dairy, right? So they have a standalone website that addresses ransomware because it's been so prevalent. And if you go to CISA, CISA.gov, .gov/ransomware, RANSOMWARE, there's resources there on that page. There's a ransomware guide, a 16-page guide as to how to address ransomware risks. There's a ransomware awareness campaign that they're undertaking now. You can actually download resources to how to train your staff. And then also there's a specific fact sheet that's been written for operational technology. So there's a lot of tools out there. It's just a matter of focusing on this and equipping yourself with the tools that are out there so you can minimize the effects of any such attack on your system.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for all that information. And that's all the questions I have for you today, Al. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure having you.
Great. Thanks for having me.